After an accident, everyone's got advice. But here's what matters. Results. I'm Virginia Tarani, and I built my law practice on something simple, taking personal care of my clients. While others are busy with billboards and bravado, I'm in the office doing the work, returning your calls, making it painless. You don't need the loudest attorney. You need the one who listens, someone who knows how to negotiate, litigate, and get you maximum compensation. Tarani Law. Because you never need a lawyer till you do.
It's the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the Tour B ball with Mindset Technology. By the club at Sea Palms. By PXG, you've never played like this before. By RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back to our community. And by Stitch Golf, dress your game. And by CJ's Italian Restaurant, voted best pizza, known for their deep dish and thin crust pizzas, plus much, much more. Check out their full menu at CJsItalianRestaurant.com. On the show this weekend, great weekend for golf, by the way, no matter where you live, we've got Ken Sugimoto, who is with PowerFlex arm sleeves. Some might think those keep you hot in the summer if you wear them, but Ken tells us they don't. They actually are very cool, and you can find out more about that in our interview with him. Then we'll talk with Craig Allen, who is the director of the Sea Island Golf Performance Center, about going to the PGA show and all these new clubs that are coming out. Should you buy the new clubs now and then find out 6 or 8 months later that they're a style or two behind? Craig had some suggestions and some answers to that. And then we'll talk with Adam Rayburg with Bridgestone Golf. Adam works with a lot of the pros that they work with, like Tiger, Jason Day, Matt Kuchar, and Mr. Gutterup, who won a couple times so far this year. And we will find out more from Adam during our interview with him. So thanks for tuning in. We're here every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 9 on the superstations.com, Spotify, and wherever you pick up your podcasts. But here's my interview with Ken Sugimoto.
And he is the CEO of Second Skin Labs, who has come out with a new product. And Ken, tell us about the new product, please.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me. So sure. Actually, that my new product is Energy Skin. Sorry, Rich, is it okay for you?
Oh yeah, that's fine, that's good.
So I need to talk about my Energy Skin product, right?
Okay.
All right, so let's start now again.
So how did you come up with the idea for Energy Skin?
Okay. All right. So when I was a kid, I watched American superhero cartoons. I loved the gear that made them stronger. So, you know, that idea stayed with me. I wanted to create a real hero suit for the athlete. So, you know, the Energy Skin is a simpler version of that idea. So it's a hero supporting item, something athletes can wear every day to support their performance, right?
Okay.
And that's idea comes up, yeah.
Okay, and how long has it taken you to get the product to where you can bring it to the United States?
Okay, so actually I started this kind of production around over the 15 years ago. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so long time I took time to for the developing this kind of product. But you know, in Japan, I always said I wanted to create the world best sports technologies. So I moved to here, North America. So, you know, because I wanted to focus more seriously on research and development. So, you know, I already have a company in Japan also. So,
right.
It's taken over the 10 years already.
So you came up with your Second Skin Labs, this PowerFlex arm sleeves, and you've come up with them in three different colors. What are the big advantages of wearing the arm sleeves while you're outside playing golf?
Okay, so actually the benefit, that's a good question for me. So actually the, you know, Energy Skin delivers three main benefits now.
Okay.
So one is a protection from the UV and heat loading. And second, thermal regulation. It's adapt to the environment. It cools you down when the weather is hot, and also that helps keep you warm when it's cold too. And third, the gentle compression to support recovery. And you know, one difference is our focus on the human physiology too. Yeah.
So a lot of people though wear the sleeves in the winter, which I understand. And now a lot of people are wearing them in the spring and the summer when it's very hot.
Mm-hmm.
But the misconception, I think, is that you wear these arm sleeves during the very hot weather and they're going to make you hotter, but that's not true. Correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So why is it make you cool when it's hot outside?
Okay, that's a function with the evaporation. So that's because of the once that this fabric gets some moist, then you know the it works for the evaporation, you know, cooling. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the misconception is that they make you hot, but they really don't. They keep you warm in the winter, but they're also cool in the summer.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. How did you come up with the three colors? I get the black, the white, and then you came up with green. How did mm-hmm. you decide on the three different colors?
Oh, yeah, actually, I thought the white and black is you know, kind of the basic colors.
Right.
But yeah, I'd like to create some image with the like energy. So it's not kind of vital, you know, it's like more nature. So that's why I choose the green color too. Yeah.
Okay. Are you working on more colors to come out with for men and women while they're playing golf to use the arm sleeves?
Mm-hmm. In the future, yeah, I'm planning to the other two or three colors more. Yeah.
Okay. And when will those be available? Sometime this year or working on for next year?
Yeah, actually, I'm planning to maybe around the summertime, maybe
okay.
September or yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay. And the Second Skin Labs, and you've come up with the PowerFlex. Can you give us the website so our listeners can go to it and buy your product?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give us the website.
Oh, website is the Energy Skin website, energyskinusa.com.
So energyskinusa.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And how are you selling them now? Are they in retail stores or are you doing your sales online?
Basically, we are selling at online.
Okay, so you just all you need to do is go to the website, and how are they sized? How can you determine which size? Because you have small, medium, and large. How do you decide which size for you?
Okay, actually, this is a very good point for the production. You know, actually, we have three sizes right now. So.
Right.
You know, if the person who like compression, like a more precious, then maybe you can choose the maybe smaller, medium size, better for the normal arms person. But so if we want wearing the just for, you know, relaxing size, maybe you can choose it. You know, just correct with your arm size. Yeah. The website shows our size spec already. So maybe you can adjust. Yeah.
So you just have to measure and figure out which size fits you.
Mm-hmm.
and which color you would prefer. And men and women can wear these all year long.
It is.
What I find amazing is that they're cool in the summer and they keep you warm in the winter, yet mm-hmm. it's the same material.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of material did you pick in order for that to be true for both summer and winter wear?
All right. So this is a little bit the explanation we need. So actually, we are developing a responsive yarn to create energy fabric. So that's basically designed to support sports performance and human healthcare. But you know, these kind of the yarn, they have some mineral inside. The mineral makes sometimes, you know, the response to the environment. So which meaning is if your body has temperature, so then the fabric absorbs the temperature to return to your body. That meaning is you can feel the hot, but in the summertime, there's the opposite side. So this fabric gets some moist or sweat, then the fabric makes some happen with the evaporation. Yeah, then you can feel the cool. Yeah, that's the mechanism of that. Yeah.
All right. And what other colors are you working on if you already have the black, white, and green? Can you tell us some of the colors that you're thinking about?
So I think that I recommend the white color. It's useful all season. And also I'm using green and black, but I recommend the white color.
White. Does the black also work as well as the white in the heat? And when it's sweat, it still gets cool, even though it's black?
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yep.
And the green as well?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And how are you getting the word out to folks that are interested, especially golfers, to buy your product? How are you marketing it? And your target, obviously, are people that play golf year-round.
Okay, actually, we already have so many kind of researching in Japan. So which is kind of the human physiological reactions. So some of the Japanese customers, they're already using our technology in Japan market. So we research with them. So our technology has a good test data with the golf playing. Like a little bit, it changes the how can I say that? Just a moment, can I give me time a little bit? So because I need to say that, yeah.
But people are responding. So now you're in California and people are wearing them. And mm-hmm. what are they saying to you? What kind of feedback are you getting from the people that are wearing them now?
All right. So actually, now we are providing so many athletes and also the golf player too. So actually, the reaction is very honest. Like, some people who felt some of the good reaction, like a flexibility or a balance, they can feel. Yeah, but it's a little bit that tough situation for the, explain the detail, more detail. Yeah, so and feedback is very nice. Yeah.
What is the cost to someone that goes online and buys your product? What is the cost?
Basically, it's $32.50 US.
$32.50, okay. All right. And give us the website again so our listeners, many of them play golf, so they can go to it and buy your product.
EnergySkinUSA.com.
EnergySkinUSA.com.
Yes.
Got it. Well, good luck. I hope it works as well as what you've just told us all about. It looks like it's going to be a fantastic for all over the country with the different climates that we have. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Hello, my name is Frank Darby, and Keegan Bradley played for me at St. John's. I was fortunate to recruit him and coach him there as well. And you're listening to the Back Nine Boys here, their podcast. It's been fun being on.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles with the director of the Golf Performance Center here at Sea Island, Craig Allen. And Craig, you just went to the PGA show. Lots of new clubs by many of the companies, and the first ever appearance by PXG. What did you see that kind of stuck in your mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was exciting to see the show almost get back to what it used to be, you know, getting away from the booths and the stalls that had stuff that really didn't have a lot to do with golf. So, you know, it was great to see all the club manufacturers that were there really go all out. It was great to see all the technology was there in terms of simulators and launch monitors and all of that good stuff. So the vibe and the energy around the PGA show was tremendous. So I was really excited, you know, been in the business a long time, I was excited to see that come around again. So, yeah, it was wonderful. In terms of the golf clubs, you know, I think these OEMs, these club manufacturers, continue to push the envelope. They're trying to find ways to eke out every mile an hour they can out of, you know, all clubs, woods and irons. They're trying to create a certain level of forgiveness to these products, trying to best they can be everything to all golfers.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's exciting that they're willing to challenge their team and challenge the industry in terms of the materials and the technologies they're using, rather than how it was several years ago when it was just changing the paint color and the name year over year, and it didn't seem like the technology was really changing that much. But I can honestly say that it's really exciting to see, you know, some of the companies introduce newer technologies and challenge the norm, if you will, sometimes they fall flat on their face and sometimes they strike gold. But the fact that they're willing to take that chance says a lot, and says a lot for the, you know, the game of golf, really.
All right. The question comes up. Is it really technology changes? I mean, a few materials, I'm sure, and gives them more to talk about, to advertise. Or is it more marketing? A lot of folks felt over the years that it was more marketing than it really was technology that's improved.
Well, I mean, certainly it's their job to market the product and promise things that they're saying the product can do, because, you know, they're in the business of selling golf clubs. But, you know, my philosophy on this is, you know, go see a club fitter, challenge the fitter with any new product to beat the product that you're playing. Your club is the best until we as fitters or any club fitter can prove otherwise. As far as the clubs being better year over year, there are definitely times when the clubs are better year over year, and there are times where sometimes they don't quite achieve what they were trying to achieve, and they're not. And that's normally identified fairly quickly in a club fitting. The other thing I would say is that certain technologies or tendencies of golf clubs will better suit certain types of golfers and their specific tendencies in their ball flight, how they deliver the club, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes they can get a pretty big leap in performance year over year because that technology lends itself to what they do or don't do. And sometimes it doesn't. And so, you know, making sure that you, when you're going to spend your hard-earned money, that you go and see somebody that can actually test it head-to-head and tweak it appropriately to suit what you're trying to achieve, there's no reason you shouldn't do that.
As a fitter, and you're a master fitter, is it always, and I'm probably going to ask this the right way, but is it always that if you're going to go with Ping or Titleist or Mizuno that you go through and everything is that brand? Or are there times mm-hmm. when you might use the Ping driver, three wood, whatever, and you might use Mizuno irons? That would come true in a true fitting.
100%. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with having your preferences. But at the end of the day, tour players are paid to play a certain club. Quite the opposite. You're paying to play a certain club.
That's true.
So why wouldn't you go in there with as an open mind as you can and hopefully work with a fitter that's brand agnostic and focuses on the performance so that you can end up with, putter aside, the 13 best possible golf clubs you can have in your bag, regardless of what name is on them. Now, there's certain maybe brands that you've had a bad experience with in the past, and there's no problem with saying, man, I'd rather stay away from that because I just didn't do well with them before. Totally fine. But just because you like a certain brand as a general rule doesn't mean that you should only play that brand, because who's to say that those 13 non-putter golf clubs are the best 13 golf clubs for you if they're only one brand? Now, it could end up that way, and that's great. But focusing on finding the best performing club, driver, fairway, hybrid, irons, and wedges, no matter of the brand, is definitely the best approach.
How long does it take, and what is the percentage of people that come to you and get completely fitted from the driver, all 13 clubs?
Well, it takes 3 hours to do that. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be hitting balls straight for 3 hours. We try and break it into segments to where we're addressing certain parts of the bag in sections and giving you small breaks in between, so that we're not completely wearing you out. Now, some people will split it into two 90-minute sessions and so forth and so on. In terms of the number of people who do full versus not, it really... It fluctuates and depends, and it really depends on sometimes the time of year and what new product is coming to market. When it's a heavy driver kind of marketing campaign out there, then a lot of people come for driver fittings, and then it really depends on how long people have had their clubs. You know, we've talked about this previously, where, well, how often should people change their clubs?
Right,
well,
right.
I would say, you know, that if you're an avid golfer, really into it, enjoys your golf, wants to stay in the latest technology, then you should probably investigate the driver every year just to investigate it. The fairway woods every couple years and the irons every 2 or 3 years. If you're just kind of play a moderate amount of golf, weekend golfer type deal, then maybe that driver becomes 2 years to 3 years. Maybe the fairways become 3 to 4 years. Maybe the irons become 4 years to maybe even 5 years, depending on
right
how your game, what age you are. If your speed's decreasing at a greater rate than, you know, the age of the clubs, then you got to look at that. So there's a number of different factors there. But, you know, I do believe that there are opportunities to improve year over year from a club standpoint and a golfer standpoint. And frankly, you know, we go in with the attitude that, you know, we're as if we were spending our hard-earned money and trying to prove either A, that the clubs that we're testing are better than yours, or B, providing you the confidence that your clubs are really the best clubs, and that's okay. So we're in the business of fitting clubs, not selling golf clubs. The selling part comes as a product of us providing a high level of fitting service, and as long as the people are happy, we're happy.
So somebody comes in, they spend 3 hours, you go through, you recommend whatever clubs they are, how many different brands that they are. And some of the times, though, even that's done, over the years, let's say they're 2 years old, they may need a different shaft because their swing speed has changed, probably slower.
Well, certainly, I think for, you know, some of the older folks, they can definitely be in a situation where there's some rapid decline in speed. You know, for kind of the middle-aged folks, they might be taking lessons, and the way they deliver the club might be changing quite drastically. So there are a whole slew of factors that can impact what clubs somebody is using, the performance of those clubs, and what clubs they might should be using, and the performance of those clubs. So, you know, we try to look at the whole picture. We try to look at, you know, if we're fitting, you know, somebody today, you know, where might they be in the next 12 to 24 months? And so if we're on the fence between a couple of options, we try and forward think as much as we can so that we don't end up in a situation where whatever we're putting the person is short-lived, because that's certainly not our intent.
What would you do if somebody came in for a fitting and all of a sudden you see some issues with their swing and realize that maybe right now you need to go take some lessons to make sure you're getting to the ball in a better manner than you are now. Would you interrupt the fitting and tell him, I think we need to get you over here to get you swinging the club better?
Yeah, I mean, we're under no illusions that everybody's going to hit it perfect in the fitting. You know, there's no expectation of that. A tour player doesn't do that. But what we do want to make sure is that what we're fitting the person to in any part of the bag is the best product for them in terms of where they are today, but also where they're trying to go. And if they're struggling, you know, every one of our fitters is talented enough to be able to see that and either provide a little bit of guidance, or if it requires a little more guidance than that, they're confident enough and comfortable enough to say to the person, look, golf clubs are expensive. $3,000 or so is $3,000 or so. Why don't we take a pause here and let's get someone to help you? I can provide them with what I've seen today through the launch monitor data, observations, et cetera, that will help the instructor tremendously to get you in a better place to where whatever we fit you for will be a longer term solution. I had this yesterday. It's a young man that I've worked with since he was 9 years old. He's about to go off to college, Division I athlete, uber talented. He's won the World Junior. And he came yesterday. He's in the middle of a pretty significant swing change, and it was a struggle. And we were supposed to fit all woods. And I paused the fitting while my apprentice was with me and walked through the scenario we were in and explained to him that the better solution is for me to provide the information that I'm seeing today, which was yesterday, to the instructor that he's going to see next Friday, so that A, that lesson is more efficient, but B, that instructor can help me get him in a place and educate me to a point where I can put him in the right thing, where all the stars are aligning. So we're not, we don't go in with the intent to change somebody, we go with intent to help somebody. And if that means pausing it and encouraging them to go work on something, we'll do it.
Craig, as always, thanks. I learn something every time that we talk, like I need to work on some other things.
My pleasure. I always enjoy your time. Thanks, Rich.
Hello, my name is Frank Darby, and Keegan Bradley played for me at St. John's. I was fortunate to recruit him and coach him there as well. And you're listening to the Back Nine Boys here, their podcast. It's been fun being on.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with a good friend, been a while, Adam Rayberg from Bridgestone Golf. And Adam, thanks for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. Always a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, it's been a while, and since we've talked, you all have added to your staff, and especially with Chris Gutterup, who has been on fire.
Absolutely. It has been phenomenal to see what we really kind of identified, you know, back when he was in college. You know, he's a Haskins Award winner, which is, you know, goes to the best college golfer, and we kind of had our eye on him many, many years ago. Now, it doesn't seem that long ago, but now that's been about 4 years ago when he kind of had that amazing college career. But, you know, we talked to him, you know, kind of early in his college and had him playing the ball. And, you know, he fiddled around with a couple other balls while he was in college as well. And then ultimately came to us when he was turning pro. And he's had a really great career, just spent 1 year on Korn Ferry, got his, you know, card from the PGA Tour. First year on PGA Tour, he won the Myrtle Beach in his rookie year. And then last year, he had a great year where he won the Scottish Open and, you know, kind of went head-to-head with Rory down the stretch to win that one. And then this year, really amazing start to this year. We couldn't ask for anything better. Two wins in his first three starts and kind of did the same thing. He went head-to-head with Rory, the number two player last year, and then kind of, you know, outlasted Scotty at the Waste Management. So, you know, kind of showing that he could, you know, hang with the guys out there. And he's moved up to number five in the world and really just ascended in the golf world rankings in a very short amount of time.
Well, he is sneakily moving up, if sneakily is a word. moving up in the world golf rankings, kind of like Kuchar does. In his early years when he all of a sudden Matt would be in the top 10 and all of a sudden say where'd he come from. But
absolutely.
Chris can not only hit the ball a mile, He's got really soft hands, and obviously he's a great putter. And using your X ball or XS?
He's playing the X, the brand new X golf ball. And, you know, we had a really fun fall run with him and a couple of other guys too. We came out with a prototype golf ball very early, earlier than we had before, of the 2026 version. And the guys were kind of putting that in play like early or late into last season. You know, Chris played a couple of events with a prototype ball towards the end of last year and was really impressed, you know, kind of during the silly season when he's playing Grant Thornton in some of those tournaments. He got into the Euro Tigers event as well. And he was really liking what he was seeing. He was, you know, having to adjust with a little bit of the distance that he found with the new golf ball. And he really had it figured out by the time he kind of got to Sony and, you know, obviously again here at the Waste Management. And he just feels very comfortable over the ball. And, you know, he's kind of getting used to a little bit more distance that it's coming off the club face. And then, like you said, his hands are phenomenal for a guy who's, you know, he's a top five distance guy on tour, top five in the ball speed. But then, you know, his up and down and the way he can manage the golf ball is pretty amazing. And when he putts well, he wins.
And that's basically all it takes. I mean, get the ball out there. What did he have? Less than 100 yards into that final hole?
Oh, yeah. He just pumps it down the right. You know, he loves to hit that little hold cutty. You know, as he calls it, he kind of works it down the left side. And, you know, if he likes that the ball, if he, quote, he says he loses a little, he still catches the right side of the fairway. So he likes the ball. There's some new technology in the golf ball, the VeloSearch technology that actually allows the ball to have a more stable axis. We've increased the MOI of this golf ball. So he talks about how straighter it feels like it comes off the tee. And that is attributed to that new MOI factor of this new golf ball. And yeah, he really likes to pound it. He kind of doesn't hold back off the tee. He kind of feels like he's in more control the more he goes at the golf ball. And so, yeah, that on the 72nd hole, he hit it down that right side and he kind of caught the left edge of that bunker and it kind of bounded forward and he had a little flip wedge into the shot. I think he had 97 or 98 somewhere along there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, we'll come back to some of the players that are using your balls in a minute, but let's talk about some of the new technology that's out there with what you guys have introduced for this year.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're a polymer and rubber company. You know, we ladder down from Bridgestone, which is a polymer engineers and scientists. And golf ball is really the thing that we focus very hard on. And, you know, we really push our R&D team to bring new materials, to bring new specifications, not just tweak the specification, but bring something new to the table that's going to make this golf ball better. And this year we feel like was one of those big jumps with this new material that we're putting on the inside of the golf ball. It features the VeloSearch technology, which is a core mantle integration technology that really is that what's pushing the limits of distance on this golf ball. It features a heavier and more dense material. It was a material discovery from our R&D team. It's a new material that's gone on the inside of the golf ball. And by making it heavier, it does two things for the golf ball. One, you move weight to the perimeter of the golf ball, which helps increase efficiencies of smash factor, which is increasing ball speed. And then secondly, by pushing that weight and that mass to the outside of the perimeter of the golf ball, it increases the MOI of this golf ball. And so by increasing the MOI, it does add axis stability through flight. And all the testing we did with pros and amateurs, one of the biggest things that amateurs came back to us and said was, hey, did you guys change the dimple pattern on this golf ball? And we had to be like, nope, no dimple pattern change. What you're probably seeing from the straighter shots is the increased axis stability. So a lot of amateurs came back to us and noticed how much straighter the ball flew on longer shots, you know, like driver, mid irons, you know, hybrids and woods. They noticed how much straighter it flew through the air. So that's one of the biggest two things that we brought to the table with this golf ball is efficiency in being the ball flying straighter and then also increased ball speed.
But it's still based on your swing speed. So the RX and the RXS are for those with a little slower swing speeds, and the X and the XS is for those like your pros and those people with faster swing speeds.
That's correct. The RX and RXS has a core design just for people that do swing under 105, and the X and XS is above 105. Now, each of these golf balls are designed to kind of fit exactly match up with that swing speed that that player delivers, much like we all see with shafts. You know, when we get different shafts with drivers, it's pretty well established that, you know, stiff and extra stiff is better for faster club head speeds, and then like a lower stiff and regular is better for slower swing speed. So same thing applies when you're getting matched up for a golf ball. You want something that matches your swing speed. And then in each category of the over 105 and under 105, you know, like for instance, the X, Chris and everybody who plays the X likes it because it's a good balance of spin around the greens and distance off the tee. And now when you move to the XS, we have some Korn Ferry players and other players on tour that like it because it offers more spin. So they like that increased spin and control around the greens. So the same thing with the RX and the RXS.
So what would happen to a player with under 105 swing speed using an X because he says, I just want to hit the ball that Chris Gutterup is playing? What's going to happen? Are they going to see a huge difference?
That's a good question. Now we get that a lot, and we get that very often when we come and people come and do live ball fittings, you know, walk up to our ball fitting event and they'll come up to our fitter and say, "Hey, I want to play Tiger's ball." Okay, well, let's start out with that. And then they walk up there, and you know, the average swing speed of our live ball fitting events is right around 93, 92 miles per hour. That's kind of where the average falls. And that includes even the people who swing over 105. If you take out the over 105s, that number will drop down a little more. What you'll find is that you won't efficiently compress the core. Now, you'll probably hit the X pretty well, but on miss hits, and if you're over, you know, if a person is overspinning the ball, which is typically what we see during a fitting, lots of amateurs put too much spin off driver. And so the RX is more efficient when you're talking about spin reduction and also efficiencies of ball speed rappelling off the face. Those are the things you're going to find that'll be better if you do swing under 105 that fit better with the RX versus an over 105 with the X.
Gotcha. So let's jump back now to Chris. Phenomenal record so far this year. I mean, how much better can he get? Who knows? I mean, if he keeps on this streak, there's no telling what's going to happen. But so you guys kind of saw him in college and you kind of followed him, and then he got up with you guys, or did you kind of pick him, or was it kind of a combination of both?
It's a little bit of flirting from both sides if you kind of compare it to dating. You know, we see a guy in college that we like, and you know, in college back in the day when you didn't have NIL deals and the guys didn't have agents, you reached out to their coaches. Now these college kids will have agents, much like the professionals do. But then we kind of reached out to his coach, and you know, we asked if they would be interested, and we had a good relationship with Oklahoma, and we've had a good relationship with a lot of colleges. That's one thing that our tour department lead, Todd Corum, does very well. He stays in touch with these colleges and kind of reaches out to them and just, you know, politely ask, "Hey, can we get a chance to come out and kind of fit the guys and, you know, just to see if our ball is a good fit for their game?" And so that's kind of how it happened. And we have a good stretch of Oklahoma players. We've got two guys that are on the Korn Ferry Tour right now, and Logan McAllister and Quade Cummings, who was kind of there with Chris as well. Luke Kwan, who was at Oklahoma, you know, plays our ball. So we've had some good success with the Oklahoma boys. And so, you know, we reached out and asked if he would be interested in testing the ball. And so, you know, we'd go out to Oklahoma and we kind of kept a close relationship with him. And, you know, Chris, you know, one thing he said early when he was testing with us, he was like, I don't really care what's the name on the ball. I don't care if it's Titleist, if it's Bridgestone, if it's Strixon. I just want to play what works best for me." You know, he was a very much of an open bag sort of guy. I mean, you'll notice now he kind of, for a couple of years, he doesn't have a driver deal. He didn't have a iron deal, a club deal. And he just wanted to play what works best for him. So it was our job to come into him and prove that our ball would be best for him. And so, you know, he tells a couple of good stories, but you know, basically we brought him out to Covington after the Eastlake Cup, because he was playing in the Eastlake Cup with Oklahoma. And we brought him out to Covington at our R&D facility, and it was cold. cold and windy. It was about 40 degrees. Mm. Wind was blowing straight in on them. But that's where our ball performs the best, we feel like. When it's the tough conditions, we feel like our aerodynamic dimple pattern, the dual dimple pattern, is the best in the wind. And all of our players that have played it have always said that. So we had him out in the test site, and the ball he was previously playing, it was just hitting that second wind, and it was coming up short and just floating in the wind. And he's talked about it several times in some interviews, and he said, man, the Bridgestone ball, just when it hit the wall, it just fought through it, and it kept going. And we saw the numbers on TrackMan, you know, tracking the ball the whole way. But he said, I could just see it with my eye. You know, it was about 18 feet lower, 20 feet lower in the air. And he was hitting these six irons, and he said six iron was the one that stood out, you know, when it kind of kept getting hit. And so that's when he knew that it was going to be the ball for us. And from there, you know, he turned pro, had a great Korn Ferry career, and now is where he's at, number five in the world.
Incredible story. I mean, you've always had some great stories, and you're still working with Matt and Freddie and Tiger, Jason Day, Harry Hall, and Kurt Kitayama.
Oh yeah, just all those guys a few weeks ago at one of our shoots, and checked in with all of them, and all of them have converted over to the new ball, and all of them are happy. And you know, one of our best conversion, kind of moving into a new product. Every 2 years, we'll launch a new Tour B, and we hope that every tour player kind of converts over that new ball. So we've had no issues, and everyone's comfy and happy, and moving forward. So all of them are doing well, and good start to this season. Jason's had a good couple tournaments under his belt, and Kurt's played well and made cuts. So Harry's game's always looking up. He finished last year on a really high, kind of making it all the way to East Lake and finishing out strong in the end of the year. And we did some testing with him about a month ago to make sure he's comfy, and he was really confident heading in this season.
Well, let me ask you, is Tiger going to turn and become a salesperson for Bridgestone with his son Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I just saw yesterday his son's going to one of my alma maters, one of my old schools. He's going to Florida State. That's where I grew up in the Panhandle. So Charlie's going to Florida State, and you know, we've been talking to him and the whole crew over there, and basically Charlie's been his old man. He's going to get to do whatever he wants. You know, Tiger's even told us, like, I don't influence him. I let him play what he wants. I don't try to put my thumb on him.
Gotcha.
You know, he's his own kid, and I'm going to let him make his own choices and kind of do whatever he wants. So we're excited to see where he goes. We're always in contact with Rob, you know, McNamara, which is Tiger's guy that you always see with him. And, you know, we provide him balls all the time, and we'll just see kind of go where it goes from there, for sure.
Yep. It'll be history in the making, that's for sure. Adam, thanks for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks.
Absolutely. Very much appreciate the invite.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.